This is Haley.
This is Leah.
And you're listening to Looks That Kill. Welcome back, listeners.
Hello, everyone.
All right. So today I'm going to be covering a much older case than I would typically cover, but this one really stayed with me after I heard it for the first time. I think I heard it on Morbid. It's a great podcast. Shout out to them. They are what we aspire to be.
And I feel like we've talked about this case together too a couple times. And anytime we talk about a case that completely like shocks us, this one always seems to come up in conversation because it's so crazy.
I know. And I will say that if you have heard this case before on another podcast, I'm not going to tell it quite the same as I've heard it done elsewhere, which may or may not be as interesting to you. And that's okay. But anyways, today I'm going to be covering the case of Dolly Oesterreich. And I had to look up how to pronounce her last name because I have heard, you know, multiple variations of it. So if I say a first name and there's a long pause, it's because I'm trying to be intentional and not mess up her name.
I always read it as ostrich. And
it,
I know
it looks
that's
like
definitely
ostrich.
My throat with the noise. Sorry, guys.
Coming in clutch. Okay. So Walburga Barbara Korshell Hedrick, also known as Dolly, was born on June 12, 1880. Her parents were German immigrants, and Dolly grew up in the Milwaukee, Wisconsin area among a community of fellow immigrants. At age 12, she worked at the textile mill of Fred William Oesterreich, a man from her community who had become successful and frequently hired fellow immigrants in his factories. Fred William Oesterreich was born on December 8, 1877, in Chicago to Wilhelm, not William, but Wilhelm Oesterreich and Joanna Krugar Oesterreich.
I feel like Wilhelm is very appropriate for the time that this was the 1800s. Sir William.
I really want to say William, but that is not the case. And maybe that's why Fred's middle name is William. I don't know. Anyways, he grew up with an older sister named Anna and a younger brother named John. Dolly was, by all accounts, an attractive and charismatic girl with many friends among the factory workers. Cough, cough, wink, wink. She, you'll see what I mean here in a little bit. She quickly gained Fred's attention, and the two married when she was just 17. As Fred's wife, Dolly remained popular among her husband's employees, like I had mentioned, and she often helped resolve labor disputes by acting as a mediator on her husband's behalf. The couple welcomed a son, Raymond Harold, to the world on August 20th of 1900. Tragically, Raymond passed away when he was only 9 years old, and the grief, among all the other things going on in their marriage, caused a serious rift between Dolly and Fred. I was never able to find out the exact cause of their son's death, but I assume it was probably an illness.
Yeah, because it was, what'd you say, he was born 1900?
Yeah, he was only 9 years old. I think it was some sort of illness, but
that's so sad.
It was so long ago that I couldn't really find anything about it.
I think that for that time frame, there was a lot of illnesses that were, at the time, not curable or not treatable, so that's probably what it was.
Right. And grief obviously takes its toll on relationships, and so do affairs. But anyway, Dolly and Fred just went through the motions when it came to their relationship for several years, until 1913, when Dolly began an affair with 17-year-old Otto Sanhuber, a sewing machine repairman who often worked at her husband's factory. She had her husband send the repairman to their home to work on her sewing machine, and it is said that she greeted Otto at the door in nothing more than stockings, a silky robe, and a smile. And during that visit, their wild affair began. Dolly was 33 at the time, and Otto was 17.
Oh.
So if you look at pictures of Dolly, there's only one that really like pops up on Google.
Another one you're talking about.
And like, I guess in my mind, I imagine that she would be like this drop dead.
Like little vixen.
Yeah. Like I would just imagine that she was like super pretty. And y'all, she's not.
She is not. She looks like she would be like, she looks like the type of like little lady that wouldn't be caught doing anything of the nature that would be wrong or risque. Like, mm-hmm. She does not look like she'd be doing what she was doing.
She kind of reminds me of like a, I don't know, like a 60-year-old woman at yes. church who like snuck in or like sneaks candy. To give kid candy that's not, that you know, when the kid's not supposed to have it, and she just like gives you that.
The dusty purse candy.
Yes, and just gives you like that smirky smile. Like, that's the type of lady.
She does look like that.
That's how she appears.
Like, but the sneakiest thing she ever did was sneak candy to the kids. Not mm-hmm. half the other crap she did. Not that. She don't look like she's capable of that other stuff.
And maybe that's how she got away with it. I don't. I really don't know.
Little church purse candy lady is the perfect way to describe how she looks. Please go look up what she looks like. Or look on our Instagram.
Yeah, look on our Instagram. We'll definitely post the picture of her that we're referring to, but... yeah, she's just not what I anticipated. But anyways, the two were indiscreet, and before long, Fred realized what was going on. When she was confronted by her husband, she promised to end the relationship with Otto. But she had a better idea. Instead of ending her affair with Otto, or leaving her husband, she opted to keep both men in her life. She convinced Otto to quit his job and move into the attic of the home that she shared with her husband.
This is always the part of the case that blows my mind. Like, on top of the other stuff that blows my mind, like, you convince him to quit his job and move into the attic.
Where your husband also lives.
Right. Like, this, she's nutso.
This one gets pretty crazy. But each morning, as soon as Fred left to go to work at the factory, which he was a workaholic, he was gone all the time, Otto would emerge from the attic, and the two would do some housework together, kind of do the things that she was expected to do around the house, and then they would spend the remainder of their time between the sheets in the bed that she, again, shared with her husband. So right before Fred was supposed to come home from work, Otto would hurry back to the attic. Now, Otto's space in the attic only had a small cot, a bucket for him to shit and piss in, and books to keep him occupied while Fred was home or Dolly was away. So, I mean, he was totally isolated up there. The only time he got to come down was when Fred was gone and Dolly was ready to have her way with him. So nothing about the space was appealing or glamorous whatsoever. And he agreed to this. Like, he was cool with it.
He was just so young when she got to him that I'm sure she probably turned up her manipulation tactics, and where he was just so young and mm-hmm. impressionable that she was like, this is a great idea.
Yeah. And
he was like, I guess. All right. It's so sad.
Yeah. It's like, you could have been having great sex with other people and left an attic. You know, you didn't have to live basically as a prisoner in an attic, but we'll get there. So meanwhile, Dolly was just playing the loving, charismatic wife downstairs. Fred sensed that something strange was happening in the house, but he couldn't put his finger on what kept him feeling unsettled.
Do you hear those little footsteps in the roof, honey?
Uh-huh. So he noticed that food was missing from the freezer. His cigars kept going missing. He thought he saw shadows outside of their room at night, and he actually heard noises coming from the attic from time to time. But Dolly reassured Fred that nothing was missing and that he was just stressed out from work and that he was probably imagining things. And so, like I said, Fred worked a lot and not many people liked him. He drank quite a bit, and Dolly used this to her advantage. And she would just say, like, oh, you're drunk, you're imagining things. And he's like, no, I don't think I am.
He's like, honey, four beers just disappeared out of the fridge. I don't, well, a pint of my whiskey is gone. I'm not imagining that.
And so Otto was really into reading and writing pulp fiction. And during this time, a few of his stories were actually published under a pen name. So stories that he was writing while in the attic were actually published, which is interesting.
Instead of Flowers in the Attic, it's Otto in the Attic.
Yeah. So this is where it starts getting even crazier to me. But the trio shared a home, unbeknownst to Fred, for 5 years.
Oh.
And then Fred opened a West Coast factory and decided to relocate to Los Angeles in 1918.
And I'm sorry, where did you say they were originally from? They moved from Los Angeles from where?
Oh, gosh. If you hadn't asked me, sorry. I told you.
Sorry. I'm imagining, is it like a short move or maybe a long move?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they were somewhere pretty random.
Oh, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Okay. Okay. Because so, I was like, I think that's pretty far from where they started.
Yes, definitely. Okay, let me find my place again.
Okay, sorry. I was just like, how far did they move? Because I remember some of the next details, but I was like, I can't remember how far they ended up moving.
Mm-hmm. So Dolly agreed to the move as long as their new house had an attic, which is a very strange request. And attics and homes in Los Angeles at this time were really rare, so this made finding a home a lot more difficult than it would have been originally. And I'm not really sure what she told Fred that she needed an attic for. I would imagine that he asked, like, well, why do we need an attic? Why do we need a house with an, you know, with one? But he evidently never went to the attic they had at their current house. So
can you imagine he's going up there? I think we have some, we might have some decorations up here. No, don't go up there. Don't go up there.
Go to the attic.
I'll do it. No, honey, don't strain yourself. Don't go upstairs. I'll get it for, I don't know why I'm doing a southern accent. I'll get it for you. I'll go get it. No, don't go upstairs. My boy toy's up there. Don't go up there.
Well, and you would think that because she drew attention to the attic, he'd be like, well, what's in our attic now that she needs an attic for in our new house?
Right.
Or like when they moved, you would think like, oh, are these boxes some things that need to go to the attic? Like,
yeah,
she drew attention to the attic,
right,
with this request. And like Fred still didn't put two and two together, which I guess that's his own fault.
Yeah, he might have just been like, it's for some boxes.
I don't know what Fred thought.
For some boxes, eh?
Maybe he was too drunk to think. I don't really know.
You gonna store my whiskey up there, honey? It's fine. It's fine.
Okay, so a house was purchased, and Otto moved himself in, built himself an attic hideaway, and hid himself there before the couple moved into their new home. So she sent Otto ahead of time to get comfy in the house before her and her husband moved in.
I just want to know why he's agreeing to this.
And remember, it's been 5 years at this point.
Is he not lonely?
The only person he has had any contact with in 5 years has been Dolly.
That's so isolating. I wonder what his family thought happened to him. They're like, oh, he just ran away.
He didn't have one. Oh, which was part of why Dolly was able to manipulate him, because he was vulnerable.
Oh, okay.
But the love triangle continued just as it had in Milwaukee until the night of August 22nd, 1922, when Fred was shot and killed in his living room. What really happened that night remains a hotly debated topic, but it is certain that Fred was shot 3 times by a caliber pistol. And as Fred lay in a pool of blood from the bullet hole in his head and 2 in his chest, Dolly and Otto devised a plan to make it look as if unknown intruders broke into the house and murdered Fred. So I've read some articles that say that all 3 rounds were fired into Fred's chest, and then I read other articles that said that 1 was in his head and then he was shot 2 in the chest. So I'm not really sure. Either way, Fred was shot 3 times and he was dead.
Poor Fred.
Yep. Otto locked Dolly into his second floor closet, locked the closet from the outside, took a really nice watch of Fred's and hid in the attic. Dolly then screamed from the closet until neighbors called the police. Once the police arrived, she told them that she was pushed into the closet as she was hanging the fur coat she'd worn that evening. As the investigation, air quotes here, because this investigation was a joke, as many of them are. But anyways, as the investigation continued, the LAPD thought it was suspicious that nothing from the home was taken besides the watch, and there seemed to be no clear motive for the murder. Police were suspicious of Dolly, but they couldn't explain how she could have murdered Fred while she was locked in the closet. Because, again, the closet was locked from the outside, so she couldn't have locked herself in there. So Dolly went on about her life and inherited her husband's millions because he owned these factories. Like, he was a very successful businessman. So she had all this money. And somehow, I don't know how, but somehow, police still had no idea about Otto living in the attic. So you would think that they would have really thoroughly searched the house.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I guess.
You said it was in the 20s, but I mean, even in the 20s, you'd think they might just want to do a quick little look around. Even if they weren't going to, like, open cabinets and look in closets, maybe necessarily all the closets and everything. You'd think they'd still do a like little quick sweep.
I don't know. Would the police look in the attic or like in someone's basement? I would imagine that they would if something like this happened, but maybe not.
And maybe they assumed the killer had ran off. I know the 20s were a different time, but still you'd think they'd do a little quick sweep.
I don't know. It's very strange. At least I thought it was very strange. But again, maybe the police don't look in attics and basements and things like that. But maybe you should.
You never know what you may find.
And Otto was up there. And even if he wasn't up there and the police were to have looked in the attic, they would have seen the weird cot, the bucket full of urine and feces and books. So that would have been suspicious enough, right?
They go up there and he's just laying on the cot smoking a cigar. Hey, guys. What are you looking for?
I know.
Dolly, there's a man in your attic. Oh, I know. What?
What do you mean you know? So, like I said, Dolly had all this money, and she ended up moving to another house in the neighborhood. And she moved Otto again into the attic of this third home, which is crazy. But at this point, there was no reason to hide him in the attic anymore. Fred was dead. Why couldn't she just have a normal relationship with him? Why did he have to be in the attic? Because she wanted him in the attic because this was like a power thing for her. But he didn't question it. So Otto is still in the attic. And at this point, Dolly struck up an affair with the attorney who was settling her husband's estate. And that man's name was Herman Shapiro. And Otto had no idea that she was seeing this other man. Yet. So as a gift to her new lover, she gave Shapiro her dead husband's diamond watch, which he recognized because remember, he's handling the case of the estate.
Uh-huh.
So, and this was the only thing taken by the assailants that broke into the house.
I was going to say, is this the stolen watch?
Mm-hmm. So it was the only thing that was taken, and then she gives it to her new lover, and he recognizes it. So Dolly claimed that she had found it under a seat cushion in the house, and she didn't think she needed to tell the police about it. And he was sure. he was like, oh, okay, thanks, babe.
Sure. Dolly's got all the tricks up her sleeve with the manipulation tactic she's using.
But he believes her.
Phew.
Then Dolly added a third lover.
Oh, my God!
A businessman named Roy Klum.
I forgot about this. Not one, not two.
So she gives Herman Shapiro the watch that was supposedly taken when the assailants came in. Then she adds this third dude, Roy Klum. And she ended up asking him to dispose of the gun used to murder Fred. And Clem agreed. He's like, yeah, sure, babe.
Anything for you, baby cakes.
Anything for you, Dolly. So Clem threw into what turned out to be a shallow spot in the La Brea tar pits. Do you know what the La Brea tar pits are?
I don't think so. Question mark.
Okay, so this is very unique to this case and very strange. It's also the perfect place to get rid of a murder weapon. Don't take my advice too seriously, but anyway. Okay, so the tar pits are currently an active paleontological research site in urban Los Angeles. This is a place where natural asphalt has seeped up from the ground for tens of thousands of years. Tar pits are composed of heavy oil fractions called gilsonite, which seeps from the earth as oil. Crude oil seeps up, and when the oil reaches the surface, it forms pools, becoming asphalt as the lighter fractions of the petroleum biodegrade or evaporate. The asphalt then normally hardens into stubby mounds, and this seepage has been happening for tens of thousands of years, during which the asphalt sometimes formed a deposit thick enough to trap animals.
Oh.
The deposit would become covered over with water, dust, and leaves, and so animals would wander into it, become trapped, and then die. Or predators would enter to eat the trapped animals, and then they would also become stuck, and then they would also die. And as the bones of dead animals sank, the asphalt would soak into them, turning them into this dark brown or black, tar-ish, nasty, natural asphalt type stuff. So this is a really gross, naturally occurring thing, but it's the perfect place to throw a gun or a knife or, you know, whatever you're trying to get rid of. It's likely not going to be found if you throw it in there, because who's going to get in that?
No one's going searching in that.
Nobody's going to go searching in that.
That bubbly mass of goo.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's crazy.
That is where Roy Clem threw the gun used to murder Fred. So then she asked a neighbor to do her a similar favor. So this is a fourth man that she, so there's Otto, Herman, Roy Clem, and then this neighbor.
Roy Clem sounds like a name for a character in the Clue board game. Roy Clem.
Yes, and then Herman Shapiro, like, come on.
He could probably also be in the Clue board game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And that just Dolly and Fred.
I think that just made me think of it because of Professor Plum, one of the characters in the Clue board game. When you said Clum, I guess it made me think of Plum. Anyway, that's just what I thought of.
Yep. So she then asked a neighbor to do her a similar favor, and the neighbor ended up burying the other gun under a rose bush in his backyard for her. This woman must have had a golden you-know-what, y'all, because men were absolutely obsessed with her and did whatever she asked without question.
The golden cookie.
She had the golden cookie, apparently. She had to, because I don't know what else she would have had.
She had the golden cookie and some really good sweet talk, I guess, because how in the world do you convince four people to do something like this for you, and also convince your previous husband, who is now deceased, you convinced him that everything that he was hearing and seeing was fake. Like, I mean, how is she doing it? And also, how is she keeping her story straight?
I have no idea. And nobody really even questioned her. They were just like, okay, yeah.
Probably because she looked like the sweet lady with the candy and the dusty candy in her purse. But really, she was like, haha, not quite.
Not quite.
I have no candy, but I have deceiving words and a golden cookie.
I have a golden cookie. Oh, gosh. Okay, so by July of the next year, however, a detective had learned that Shapiro had the watch. And Klum, after breaking up with Dolly, had told police that he helped dispose of one of her guns. And somehow, police were able to recover the gun in the tar pits.
Wow.
Yeah, I was shocked.
Based on the description of it, I'm shocked too, because it sounds like it's a wasteland of things that people don't go fishing for unless they surface on their own.
Yep. So with the case back in the newspapers, the neighbor who buried the gun under the rose bush, he came forward, and Dolly was arrested for murder on July 12th of 1923. This is where it gets even crazier. In jail, Dolly begged Shapiro, one of her boyfriends. This was Herman Shapiro, the attorney that was handling the estate case. Dolly begged Shapiro to take food to her transient half-brother staying at her house.
Uh-huh.
So she was telling him, everyone says it's their brother. Y'all, it's never their brother. It is somebody that they are having the sex with. It is not their brother. Anyways, so she begged her boyfriend to take food to her other boyfriend who she was claiming to be a transient dude staying at her house.
It's like the case of Sheila Davalou where she was saying that her brother was coming to visit and really it was her boyfriend.
It's never the brother. Never.
Dolly and Sheila are one and the same.
It's always funny how there are parallels between our cases without that being us planned.
Yeah. True. True.
So, Herman Shapiro did go to the house to take food to the brother, who was not the brother. Because I guess otherwise, Otto would have just starved in the attic. I guess he would have just stayed up there wondering what the hell was going on, because he depended on Dolly for everything. So anyways, Herman goes to the house and, you know, knocks on the door with this food, and Otto opens the door. And you have to remember, Otto hasn't talked to anyone other than Dolly in 10 years.
That's crazy.
He hasn't seen anybody else except for Fred, who he killed. But he hasn't seen or talked to anybody in 10 years.
That's crazy.
So Otto is like dying to spill the beans and talk to somebody about anything. Anything at all. He's just thrilled to death to see somebody else.
It's like that TikTok sound. All right, I'll tell you everything.
And that's exactly what happens. Otto's not like ashamed of like what's been going on or anything like that. And he has no idea that Dolly is like having sex with other men either. And so Shapiro's like, oh yeah, you know, Dolly's my girlfriend. And she told me that you were her brother and yada yada. And Otto's like, I'm not her brother. I've been living in her attic having sex with her for 10 years. And obviously Herman is like, what? And he is shocked and overwhelmed and angry. And so he freaks out pretty much. And he's like, get out of here, Otto. Like, he's really mad. He kicks him out of the house. And instead of breaking up with Dolly, he continues his relationship with her. Even after he has spoke to Otto and Otto tells him everything.
It's her manipulative words and her golden cookie.
It's the golden cookie.
The cookie can't be that golden, though, for these.
It has to be, though. It has to be. What else? It's like, if you were trying to get somebody to break up with you, it's like, what story would you tell them? What would you have them do?
What?
You tell them the worst possible thing about yourself. And the person still is like, no, I still love you. I still want to be with you.
Well, and not
only... That is every single man in her life. Like,
yes. And he got this fact straight from another person. It wasn't like he's hearing all this just from Dolly. Like, he's heard this admission from one of her boyfriends that he is her boyfriend. And the other boyfriend was like...
He was at her house.
Yeah, living in it.
And she had him take... him food.
Yeah. And he heard from this man's mouth, I'm her boyfriend also. And he was like, so am I, but maybe we can work something out. And maybe we can, like, I don't know if they just thought they could work something out and maybe be like,
how do you work that out?
Polly? I don't know. Maybe he was like, you can have two boyfriends. That's fine. In the 30s, that in the 1930s. Yeah, sure. You can have two boyfriends. But also, I'm like, what is she? I would love to be a fly on the wall to hear the conversation of Dolly trying to convince, what'd you say? It was Herman?
Herman Shapiro.
So Dolly and Herman having this conversation of Herman being like, hey, I found a man in your attic who says he's your boyfriend and you lied to me about this. So what are we going to do now? And she's like, I don't know. Want to keep dating? Question mark.
Sure.
He's like, I do love cookies.
I do love cookies. Cookies and milk are my favorite.
The Cookie Monster.
Ew. Ew.
People who don't realize we're not actually talking about cookies are like, what in the hell are they talking about?
Oh my gosh. So, and then it's like, where did Otto go after Shapiro like threw him out of the house? Because he had no money. He had no clothes. He literally had nothing because he's been locked in an attic for 10 years. But it was reported that Otto fled to Canada when Shapiro kicked him out. And he attempted to rebuild his life there. And so I'll come back to him here in a little bit. Meanwhile, in hearings that dragged out over months, Chief Deputy District Attorney Baron Fitz and Deputy District Attorney Harold Davis searched for a motive and more evidence, as well as an explanation of how Dolly could have locked herself in a bedroom closet and still deposited the key outside the door. Both guns were also rusted and damaged because of one being in the tar pits and then one being buried for so long. So it was impossible to prove that either one was actually the murder weapon. And then Dolly became so ill while she was in jail and or prison that she was reported to be dying, which was strange. I'm not really sure like what she was sick with either, but that's what they said. And eventually she was released on bail. And then all charges were dropped for lack of evidence. So she gets out of it. Shapiro is still dating Dolly at this point.
Oh.
So Shapiro, Dolly's remaining lover, moved into Dolly's house, and they lived together in a tumultuous relationship for the next 7 years.
Oh. She's like, you'd be a lot more comfortable in the attic, honey.
Finally, in 1930, Shapiro moved out and told the authorities about Otto, finally, out of spite, basically. Dolly and Otto were both arrested this time. Dolly was charged with conspiracy, and Otto was charged with murder. And the two were tried separately. In Dolly's trial, prosecuted by Deputy District Attorney James Costello, Dolly was saved by a hung jury and was cleared of all charges in 1936. She spent the rest of her life in Los Angeles with a 30-year companion named Ray Burt Hedrick, whom she married less than 2 weeks before dying a free woman in 1961 at the age of 75. So she was able to get a husband after this, too.
Dang!
So back to Otto. During Otto's trial, the jury found him guilty of manslaughter, but since it was a year beyond the statute of limitations for him on a manslaughter conviction, they had to let him go. Otto wasted no time in changing his name to Walter Klein and moved to Canada and worked as a porter. I did not know what a porter was, so I had to look it up. So if you also don't know what a porter is, I will tell you what the good old Google told me. A hotel porter welcomes guests, carries their luggage to and from their room, and arranges various services such as taxis and restaurant bookings. They park guests' cars, keep the lobby and reception area tidy, collect hotel laundry, cover the reception desk, those types of things. He married a Canadian woman named Matilda and eventually returned to LA with her. He then worked another job as a hotel porter in the West, and he worked night shifts. It wasn't reported that he and Dolly ever reconnected, but they lived in the same city.
He's like, Matilda, you're never going to believe this. She's like, tell me a little bit about your history. What was your life like before you moved to Canada? Funny story.
You know that guy that they write about being like the Batman of Los Angeles or like the sex slave in the attic? You know, that was me.
So, funny story. I actually hadn't spoken to anyone in 10 years other than my lover. And the next person I spoke to, wouldn't you know it, it was also one of her other lovers. I had no idea existed. Funny story. Anyway, what was your life like?
Yeah. So, what do you do for work?
He just drops that little story in her lap. Honestly, he probably never told her. Like, he probably just never told her.
I wouldn't. And that, my friends, is the wild story of the decade-long deception between Dolly and Otto that ended in the murder of Fred Osterick.
Absolutely wild. Wild, wild, crazy.
Wild West. It is just insane. Anyways, stay alive, friends.